I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Du, 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 Marouane Fellaini.
It is Monday, which means it's time for the Front Three Football Podcast with me, Adam Bott, with the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
Du, 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 come on, Statman Dave. Du, du, du. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, Statman Dave's here as well, as is Chris Ennage.
Evening.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this week's podcast. We've got so much to talk about. Transfer news, done deals, other news in the world of football. Very exciting indeed. But before all that, as always, it's time for Hole of the Week, guys. Do you want to do a little jingle, Lawrence? Give me a little tune.
Okay, I think I've got one. I think I've got a tune. Du, 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 Hole of the Week.
How'd you come up with that?
I read it.
Good stuff. There's only two reviews this week. Which is the cue for me to say, guys, come on, get in your reviews. All you have to do is click the link in the description of this very podcast if you haven't already submitted your review. And if we like it, if you become the Hole of the Week, you will win yourself the coveted box six-pack. I must stress, you know, we're not going too extravagant here. A six-pack of Ferrero Rocher. It will be yours. Two contenders this week. First up, we've got Celtic 6788 from the UK, who entitles the review Some Podcast. The review itself simply says, please talk a little bit more about Celtic. I beg of you, keep up the good work. Not a bad review.
I played
five stars.
Celtic part once.
Oh, yep. There you go. Done. Tick. Five stars from Celtic 6788. Also a review from YouTube.comments, also from the UK. He simply says, Lawrence is the type of guy... .. Five stars. So we like that. You want to pick a winner out of those, Lawrence? I'm thinking the guy who said Lawrence is the type of guy... He's up there, you know?
It's not very original. It's not very... it's definitely up there, but I'd rather send it to someone who's taken the time to review the podcast properly and give some constructive feedback.
Yeah, please talk more about Celtic. I beg of you. There's desperation about it, but I also appreciate the constructive nature of it. Let's give it to Celtic 6788 then. You've won yourself some Ferrero Rocher, mate. Do get in touch on Twitter, either DM at the Front Three or myself at Adam Boltwood. Claim those chocolates. Just before we move on, I do want to... Do you think people would be confused about that? Lawrence, the type of guy, .. Do you think people know about that?
I don't think everyone knows about it who listens.
Just go and check out the True Geordie podcast. Check out the comment section. You see what it's all about.
Or check out any YouTube video.
That started appearing.
Yeah.
It's a meme.
It was the top comment under Joe Weller's fighting.
How does it feel to be a living meme? I'm a living mem.
It's
a coveted status. Not many people get to ascend to the status of living mem. You are what?
Ascend or descend. It depends on how you want to see it. Put it this way. When that meme happened about Drake, his mixtapes only got better. So expect the podcast only to get better.
I like it. I like it a lot. Let's move on to talk about some actual football. That's why we're all here, guys. And there's been some big news today. And that is David O'Brien. Nemanja Matic has joined Manchester United.
That's the big news.
That's the big news today, I'd say. Right. You know, 40 million sterling is the reported fee. Jose Mourinho saying the 28-year-old has everything we want in a footballer. Loyalty, consistency, ambition. You know, those three things.
How can you say that a player has loyalty when he's just left the club?
Well, he's loyal to Mourinho, you see. He's joining up with him once again, clearly. But, I mean, the reaction seems to have been, Dave, that Manchester United fans, it might not necessarily be the player they want, but do you think it's the player they need?
I think that the market at the moment for defensive midfielders especially is there isn't that much selection. There isn't that many top-class defensive midfielders, destroyers that would fit into Mourinho's sort of style and what he wants from his defensive midfielder. So unfortunately, it's got to a stage where it's kind of like Matic or nobody. And I'd rather have Nemanja playing defensive midfield than Michael Carrick. I think Michael Carrick's really deteriorated as a footballer over the last 6 months. His passing's got a lot slower. He looks off the pace. Even though he's now club captain, I don't think he'll be a starter. I think Nemanja Matic will come in and he'll start every week, which is it's a cracking signing. I think the consistency thing is, you know, he doesn't get injured. It's just one of those things, he doesn't get injured. And for a, you know, midfield last season that was, you know, that was so many different formations, so many different players in there, you want consistency and you want real power in there. And I think that's what Matic is going to really bring to Manchester United. In the last three Premier League seasons, he's won 264 tackles. That's 51 more than any of the United player managed in that same period. So he instantly gives something to Man United's midfield that they don't have. And it allows Ander Herrera to play further up the pitch. It will free Paul Pogba up. In a defensive sense, even though Paul Pogba was pretty decent in pre-season in every aspect of his game, whether it's tackling or creating or you know, hitting the bar, he's looked absolutely fantastic. But it is that motion that Nemanja Matic will free up Paul Pogba. So that is an exciting thing for Manchester United fans. And it's one of the positions that United needed a centre-back, United needed a defensive midfielder, United needed a goal-scoring attacking midfielder. They needed someone to replace Zlatan after he got injured. So they've kind of solved a few of their problems. I think they still need a goal-scoring attacker midfielder, maybe. And they could, you know, potentially do with, you know, maybe another body elsewhere. I think a utility man coming in could be quite good. So United are one or two signings away from really putting a title challenge in.
One or two signings. Any particular names that you'd like to float that you think will transform them into that?
John Obi Mikel.
He's available, isn't he?
Yeah, Mikel will be all right, but you think he's in China now collecting loads of money. But he's probably not been paid, though, has he? Because the Chinese Super League is having a little bit of financial trouble at the moment. Obviously, the big one was, start of the summer, was Antoine Griezmann. United kind of needed that in a way. They needed someone to, you know, take the goal-scoring burden and score from midfield. And that obviously didn't come through because of, you know, whatever. Griezmann probably will be moving to United next summer after the Atletico Madrid transfer ban will be opened up. I think Lukaku is a very good signing. Goals. I think there's the thing with this United squad right now, there's a number of players that are close to being the main guy. You know, there's a lot of centre-backs in there. You know, you're thinking Bailly and Lindelof are going to be the two guys, but the same thing happened last summer where we thought it'd be, you know, someone like Chris Smalling and Eric Bailly. So it's kind of like players need to step up. I think big shout outs to Timothy Fosu-Mensah has been excellent in pre-season. Same with Axel Tuinzebe, very, very impressive. Pereira's have got most of the headlines in terms of the players that have come back. Pereira's been, you know, been good on the ball, looks, you know, like he's got a good turn on him. But I think Tuinzebe and Timothy Fosu-Mensah have really shown something else. Shown there, like, that they actually have a claim for that first team jersey, especially Axel Tuinzebe. His just ability on the ball is incredible for a centre-half, and his calmness, he's quick, he's pace, he's got everything. And I'd say, if United are going to play a back three, he's going to be one of the guys. You play that, you know, play Lindelof in the middle, and maybe Bay is the right centre-back. That's a really good back three, but it's whether United do stick with a 3-5-2 or, you know, interchange the formations, which probably will happen under Mourinho.
What about potential outgoings, then? Because with Matic's arrival, it was rumoured that that might see Marouane Fellaini leave. It was linked with Galatasaray just yesterday. But according to Mourinho, Dave, he's just too damn important.
More likely that Mourinho will be managing Galatasaray next season than Marouane Fellaini joining Galatasaray. I think I think Marouane Fellaini is an asset of this United squad. He's a tactical weapon. And the teams in Europe in the last 16, into the quarterfinals, into the semifinals, Marouane Fellaini is that ugly type of player that will win you those games. You think of his importance in the, you know, the trophies that United have won in the last, we'll say, let's post-Ferguson. Marouane Fellaini's been massively important, either in the semi-final or directly in the final. You think in the FA Cup, the League Cup, the Europa League, you know, both the semis and the final, Marouane Fellaini was incredible. And I think that's what Marouane Fellaini is as a footballer. He's just a tactical weapon. And to sell something like that in this market would be absolutely stupid. So United now have
tactical
good depth in midfield.
Tactical weapon, wow.
Exactly. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But I don't think, I think United won't sell anyone. I don't think, you know, given that United potentially will play this 3-5-2, I don't see the likes of Smalling going. I don't see the likes of Jones going, who would be two players on the fringes. You know, someone like Ashley Young, I don't see him anywhere near this squad right now. You know, he's someone that United could definitely let go and it wouldn't really matter at all, because I think there's players that have emerged there, like, you know, Demi Mitchell, who potentially could do with a loan spell away from United. He looks like he's got a lot of raw assets to be a really good wing-back, but I think he needs a bit of Premier League football before he really steps up, obviously being good in the under-23s and under-23s player of the season. But he needs to make that step up in the Premier League. So I'd say a loan move for him, because we've got quite a lot of depth out there. You're thinking Daley Blind, Darmian, and Luke Shaw, of course, who's the forgotten man. But I just, yeah, Ashley Young's probably the one I'd only throw in the bin. And the rest of them, I think I'd keep the squad together, because if United do go and win the Champions League, you know, it's 60-odd games.
It is indeed. Let's move on then to the Neymar saga. It's rumbling on, Lawrence. Apparently the reports...
new ITV series, isn't it?
Yeah. The latest reports are that a £195 million deal is set to be completed this week. Right now, the player's in Shanghai fulfilling commercial duties for all sorts of different brands, apparently. But the reports are today that Neymar's father has asked PSG to delay the move so he can ironically earn £23 million in commission from the deal that his son signed last year for Barcelona. There's talk that, you know, he's due in Qatar for a medical this week for PSG. There's talk he's also due back in training this week at Barcelona. And according to the BBC today, both Barcelona and the Spanish league are threatening to report PSG to UEFA for a potential breach of FFP rules. I didn't know they still exist, but apparently they do. And if that falls through, they're going to go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport for infringement of European Union competition rules. It's all going to get too messy, this, isn't it, Lawrence? It's too messy, surely, to go through.
Messy with a Y.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it really depends on... I sort of find it a little bit unusual. I'm kind of wondering why Neymar will go there. I mean, people are sort of saying it's down to his ego. He can't take being behind Messi, which I sort of find weird, because he was always sort of billed as part of a trio. And it's not like if he leaves Barcelona, then Messi stops existing. He still very much exists within Europe. It's sort of hard to say that you're going to have the infrastructure to then go and win the Champions League with Messi, with Neymar at PSG. I mean, it's definitely possible, and we saw how far they got last season. We saw the incredible result, but that was a freak result. That wasn't like that was sort of down to anything, you know, which was a tactical masterclass over two legs. It was really more down to do with pressure and chance. It strikes me there's a lot of clickbaiting going on, and it almost serves every party to just keep the saga going. I wonder whether certain people at Barcelona sort of said, look, we've got these commercial sides to fulfill, then you can leave in pre-season. Image rights, those sort of things. I wonder if they're trying to keep him for a little bit longer. You know, that's something which maybe isn't so prevalent in other deals. You know, say... I mean, maybe Coutinho is part of that, but Liverpool don't tend to feature him on the front page of every deal that they have. But with Neymar, obviously you want to see him in a Barcelona shirt. You know, he's a very marketable asset for those guys. There's a lot of clickbaiting going on. What possible fucking benefit is there to Neymar going to PSG?
Well, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because
the biggest club in Europe,
that's basically the thing. Surely... For Neymar, apparently, this is according to Graham Hunter, who's obviously a well-respected journalist based in Spain. He's suggesting that Neymar's father is the one sort of whispering in his ear that the grass is greener on the other side. Like you say, he can become the main man at PSG. That's where he can sort of, you know, inherit that role as one of the greatest players in the world, be up there alongside Messi, Ronaldo, etc. But in terms of Barcelona, I suppose they don't really have a choice if PSG meet this release clause date. But surely they're going to be desperate to hang on to someone like Neymar, someone who you can't really replace, even if it is for £200 million.
I think that the other aspects of this that maybe has been missed in the media, that this could be better for Barcelona. I know that he's one of the best players in the world. I know that he will become something great, but at the end of the day, this Barcelona team in the last few seasons of the Champions League has lacked tactical discipline, and one of the reasons is because Neymar forgot that he needed to defend. You know, 2013-14, Barcelona win the Champions League, Neymar is dropping back into a 4-4-2 shape, Suarez and Messi up front. That wasn't the case the last two seasons, and that was both of the reasons why they got knocked out of the Champions League. So arguably, in a tactical sense, it was kind of a situation where either Messi would have to be moved inside to accommodate Neymar and Suarez, or Messi would stay on the wing. And if Messi stays on the wing and Neymar's on the other flank, Barcelona aren't going to win the Champions League.
That's going to change, Dave. A brand new coach. We saw part of the reason that he didn't keep... Well, people, we were told part of the tactical reason that he didn't keep his discipline was because of the coaching or because of the way that people were putting the ideas forward. Surely if all that's changing, then it makes sense for Barcelona to keep it. They don't have any need for the cash. And they're losing a hugely marketable asset in a time when it's going to be, you know, clearly Messi's going to be needing to transition out of the side.
Messi's only 30 years old. This is the thing. We forget that Messi's just 30, which is like, for a playmaker, for someone that has such technical ability, he could play for another 6, 7, 8 years. He could play till he's 40 comfortably at Barcelona. And does but that matter his prep, that well, Neymar will be, what, Neymar's now 25? So Neymar's going to be around, you know, you're thinking, well, it is peaking about 2 to 3 years, but then Messi will still be 33. And Messi could have evolved into a playmaker. Messi could have become a number 10. Everything goes through Messi at number 10, which would be perfect. So I think, and I understand that this is a terrible deal for Barcelona, but I'm trying to look at it the other way, because we've already had the analysis of where, you know, it's going to be a massive loss for Barcelona. But how about looking at it the other way, like I just mentioned, that actually it would be quite good and will allow Messi and Suarez to be as a front two, in a way.
I'm not against that. I'm just sort of saying, and I see what you're saying. I don't think anyone's really thinking it's a massive loss in that sense for Barcelona. They're thinking more commercial possibilities, probably. But also, I mean, also the fact that we haven't seen, or I guess in the pre-season, we have seen Neymar just sort of roaming around. He's done whatever he wants pretty much in pre-season, but that's pre-season.
I think that pre-season is pre-season. It's been annoying me a little bit that pre-season is pre-season isn't just pre-season anymore. Pre-season is development of a style or a playing standard, if it's a new coach, is a big, big thing. And given that, yes, Neymar...
It's not been used as that, has it?
...do very, very well against Real Madrid, again, tactically, there were spaces open behind him. So it's massive, one of these things where it doesn't... It could be a blessing in disguise in a way for this next generation of Valverde Barcelona. It could be a step in a positive way, or it could be terrible. They're losing one of the best players in the world. You know, if it does happen, I think Barcelona shouldn't look too bad at it. I think they'll have to just move on. They'll have to sign some players and they'll have to move on, obviously. But it could open up a lot of, you know, weapons for them on the counter if Neymar does go.
I do find it weird. I find it weird.
If it does happen though, Lawrence, there's talk it could set up a real transfer domino effect, if you will.
Yeah.
The biggest of which, of course, might be Philippe Coutinho to Barcelona for 90 million. Sky Sports sources now saying Barcelona are confident of a deal. You take 90 million for Coutinho, wouldn't you?
All right, mate. No. If you're selling Neymar for however much and Pogba went for a ridiculous amount, how integrally is this?
Coutinho's worth more than 90 million.
I mean, I think, you know, if he had a year left on his contract or 2 years left on his contract, I might hit that argument.
Put yourself in Jurgen Klopp's shoes then. What's it going to take for you to part ways with Coutinho?
To be honest, if I was Klopp, I'd just play hardball and just say you're not getting him this summer.
That is what Klopp's been suggesting, but surely a bit of 100 million, 110 million, too good to turn down?
I don't see the logic. Why do that? Why go down that route? I mean, I know Liverpool can probably bank it, but at the same time, he's worth a massive amount to the side anyway. So if you keep him, you've not lost. Technically, you've not really lost anything. There's no need really for Liverpool to sell because they're not spending massively this summer. There's no really need for FFP. I don't really see what the need is here. There's no need really for Liverpool. So there's nothing that's pressuring them unless the player goes on strike or whatever and tries to force the deal. But then I also find it weird. Honestly, people are just getting creative with narratives now. You can put it either way. If Neymar stays at Barcelona, then his best mate Coutinho is on the way. If Neymar leaves Barcelona, then his best mate's going to the previous club that he just left, which he said he was really unhappy at.
Or is he going PSG with him, Adam? I think that's what you're alluding to. I've seen all the papers.
I think what Lawrence is sort of referencing there. There's some interesting reports about them all texting each other. Neymar's texting Coutinho. I don't know how journalists have got their hands on these texts or seen these texts.
Well, WhatsApp was supposed to be encrypted. Right?
Yeah, so did I. Apparently not, guys. So
I thought
what
phone tapping in the UK was over.
It does mean, though. I mean, the rumblings are, Lawrence. Let's say if Coutinho does go, the Klopp is lining up none other than Christian Pulisic as a replacement. Would you not maybe take that 100 million, get Pulisic in for 30, 40 million? Good deal all round.
Why take up? Why not make Barcelona have a nosebleed if they're going to take your best player? Like, at the same time, I'll put it this way, Pulisic is not the same marketable player that that any of the Brazilians are. I mean, he's an American, which is great, and I think there's a huge American market. It would look great for FSG if they had a player who was, you know, the next big American thing. And you know what? He probably is the kind of player who would come to Liverpool and spend quite a long time there, because I think he'd build quite a bond with the fans. Arguably, he'd also probably be good staying. I mean, you know, do you realistically see a Real Madrid signing a Christian Pulisic? I mean, maybe if Gareth Bale goes, you might see that sort of a deal. But realistically, Pulisic isn't making that move to put himself in the shop window, is he? Hmm. He's probably better off staying at Dortmund at that point. And then he's still more likely to get his move to a bigger club.
I think it's very difficult to replace a player like Coutinho, because he's finally, to me, starting to realise his potential. You look at that assist he got the other day against Hertha Berlin. It was a wonderful example of like what he brings to a team in terms of dribbling, ball carrying, and then ability to split a defence. Pulisic isn't at that level yet. I think he's the best American prospect of this generation, arguably post-millennium. He's better than Donovan for my money. Better technique, better understanding of the game, all that kind of stuff. I think even Donovan said that. But he's going to take at least, I would say, 2 or 3 years to really start to like hit where he needs to be. So it would be a step back for Liverpool if they swapped Coutinho out for Pulisic. And plus, I know Klopp's been very forward and saying he's not for sale, and I totally understand why. I don't get why you would put that much time and investment into building Coutinho up and taking him from this kind of wayward prospect at Inter to now a game changer and one of the best in the league, just to then sell him to Barcelona, even if he's pushing for it. I think there are moments, and the same applies with Wenger and Sanchez, where you've got to just say, look, no, you've got a contract, you're staying here, you're not going anywhere. I know Klopp is a huge fan of Pulisic. He's tried to get him long before this deal even sort of came forward as a potential option. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got there at some point.
Mm.
But we're saying that it would cost a lot of money as well, because that's the thing. Not only are you buying from Dortmund a player that is important to them and has a big future there, but also you are playing the Premier League tariff, if you will, for signing him.
If Neymar does move, though, Dave, could set off an interesting domino effect, as I said there. Neymar goes to PSG, Coutinho goes to Barcelona. All of a sudden, Liverpool use some of that Coutinho money to get Virgil van Dijk in. Southampton signed Kevin Vimmer from Spurs as a replacement, and Spurs take some of that money and put it towards Ross Barkley, who's apparently been set. His asking price is £50 million from Everton. Ronald Koeman earlier this week saying that Barkley has no future at the club. He is going to be sold this summer. Not the best negotiating tactic from a manager, letting everyone know we're not keeping
him. So we heard you don't want him.
Spurs, just wait until the last day of the window. We'll take 20 million then. I mean, that's exactly the sort of situation we'd expect from Spurs, Dave, to wait until the last minute to force Everton's hand. Do you think even if Barkley does go, that it's a good signing for Spurs, be it for 30 million if it does get down to that price by the end of the window?
So as Spurs, right, as a business, why would you spend £50 million on a player that's contract is expiring next summer?
Well, this is the thing. It's not happening. They're not going to spend that money. That's why no deal has apparently happened. You know, they're waiting for that asking price to drop.
Even 20 mil, why would you spend 20 mil?
That's not even my biggest issue with the deal, personally. His contract situation.
Go on, talk to me.
I don't think he's that good a player.
Chris, today we're looking outside the box. We think Neymar will leave him. Barca's a great deal. We think we'll leave Ross Barkley to rot in the Everton under-23s for a season is a great deal for Pochettino.
Talk to me about that aspect of it, Chris, then, in terms of if they did manage to get Barkley. Dave's bringing up the point about the 30 million being a year left on the contract. Is he even worth it as a squad player for Spurs?
No, I mean, the thing is with Barkley, I think he overcooked the goose a little bit, because there was a period where you could have said, yeah, he's worth that kind of money. Probably, as Dave says, when he had a few more years in his contract as well, that would have helped. But I just think, for me, I think he's just far too inconsistent as a player. I don't think he's pushed on in the right ways. He'll get you decent numbers, but again, the the important caveat with that is you would have to potentially dislodge Eriksen or one of the wide players. And then you think, well, what's the point in doing that? Because I don't think he's got that same ball-carrying ability that Dembele has. He's not as defensive as Eric Dier. So you're needlessly destabilising your squad. And that's one of the things I think is really funny about this window in the grand scheme of things, is that like Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, they've all spent big money on big players, Bakayoko, Matic, Lukaku, Lacazette, etc. Whereas Spurs have only lost one player in Kyle Walker. And I would say the loss or the difference between him and Trippier is negligible. And so really, there's an argument to be made that Spurs have had one of the better windows, because for them, it was actually about maintenance, not growing further. Because they were a very good squad. They scored more than Chelsea, conceded less. They just had a few bumps in the road when they shouldn't have. You can theoretically work through that with players, whereas the other clubs needed to work through what they were doing. Like they had glaring issues in so much as like Man United couldn't score enough and couldn't create much. Arsenal didn't have a reliable striker, whereas Spurs have Harry Kane. And I mean, Chelsea didn't really have any issues per se, but they'll need to add depth for the fact that they've got more competitions this season.
Well, I'd agree with what you're saying there, Chris, in terms of keeping those players there has obviously been a big boon for Spurs. Not many Spurs fans I talk to are particularly worried about the situation at the club this summer. Pochettino's come out and tried to sort of diffuse that situation, try and reassure fans there will be signings, one of which could, Dave, be Damari Gray. According to Sky Sports today, the player's been holding talks with Leicester over a possible transfer. He apparently wants away from the Foxes. Everton, Spurs and Borussia Dortmund, the clubs listed as interested in the young forward. Could you see Gray lining up at Spurs, maybe bringing that pace, maybe an option off the bench for Mauricio Pochettino, Dave?
I think so, yeah, but for Gray's career, you know, he was good at Birmingham City, very inconsistent, and he's just sort of got a foothold in this Leicester City team. As far as his, you know, impact on the team, on performance dropped off, Damari Gray sort of stepped up a bit last season, and, you know, going from being the main man at Leicester City, which quite frankly for his development might be the right thing to do at the moment, to go into Pochettino again would be quite good for his development. So it's a bit of a fork in his career. I don't think he's going to displace the likes of Son, Ali or Eriksen behind Harry Kane. I just don't think that's going to happen, because they're three of the best attacking midfielders in the Premier League. You know, it will be the development, it will be the coaching hours, it will be the Europa League where I'll be playing. So it's whether, I think he needs to weigh it up in a way, whether he thinks that he can do it at Spurs in the Europa League and work with Pochettino, or he thinks that, you know, Leicester City could be the right position for him right now. But it is an interesting one. Interesting that the likes of Borussia Dortmund are interested, because they've got like 5,000 attacking midfielders. They've got more attacking midfielders than Manchester United. So that's a bit of a strange one, but I think it would be a good deal for Spurs. I'd quite like Barkley to be a striker at Spurs. I think that would work out. Harry Kane back up, whether Barkley would want that, I don't know. Obviously the price and that type of thing. So again, it's for Spurs. It's this inconsistent transfer policy in a way that gets a lot of misses and gets some hits. And you know, Damari Gray could be a hit if he's comfortable with that role in the squad. And I think that's the big thing that Pochettino would have to communicate with him. Because you've got the likes of that young lad, the City lad, Kristen, that you were tweeting about, can't remember his name, Sancho, is it? Sancho? What?
Jadon Sancho, yes.
Yeah, because there are rumours going around about him and Tottenham.
We like our youth players. Other transfer news this week. The Telegraph are saying that Chelsea are in for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Lawrence, another Arsenal player in the final year of his contract, another player, Premier League player in general. Do you think that's a better option than Victor Moses on the right? Does this one make sense?
I mean, apparently he's had a great pre-season for Arsenal. I've not watched all of Arsenal's pre-season, but
the controversy over the Emirates Cup?
The tweeting from who is it that tweeted that them?
That's a different controversy. That's even beyond what I'm thinking. The fact that Arsenal won, despite the fact that Benfica had a better head-to-head record in the Emirates Cup, points are also awarded on goals scored, apparently.
Yeah, so like Arsenal, in every other tournament, of course.
Yeah, you know, it's the perfect Arsene Wenger vision. you're awarded points for the way you play as opposed to, you know, the result itself, which is not that important.
Wasn't it also though that then Peter Cech refused to lift the trophy?
And that was another. That was one of the other preseason
about the trophy.
Yeah, that was one of the other preseason tournaments they won, I think.
He was just sort of like, yeah, not really.
Yeah, just, thanks. Let's just calm down, lads. Like, it's a preseason tournament.
And he was like, yeah.
He actually said, "We'll lift the one in May or something." He said that.
Mm. Wow, that is bullish for a guy who. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no. Fake up yet again. Right. Talk to me about the Ox.
Self-awareness is so lacking in football, isn't it?
It is. Talk to me about the Ox, though, Lawrence. He is having a good preseason.
In May.
Obviously, fantastic performances last season in that position, earning a lot of praise, a lot of attention from other clubs. Could we see him move on?
I think he's been marketed around. Part of me wonders again: is it down to selling papers and the shamelessness of selling papers? Or is there also, you know, a real prospect there of selling a guy who at this point sort of seems like, you know, the only club he can play is Arsenal. I think he'd be better off at another club away from Chelsea. I think he'd be better. You know, you don't want to see him go to Bournemouth. But I mean, you know, somewhere else where he can. I mean, I wouldn't mind him at Liverpool. I just don't think there's much space for him in the side.
He was linked, but I'm not sure that one quite adds up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one final rumour. Newcastle, Chris, are in for Lucas Perez, according to the Mirror. Potential good signing, provides strength and depth and some competition for Dwight Gale.
Yeah, I mean, it depends where they play him. He's quite versatile, as I understand it. Can play left, can play out wide, or number 10, whatever you need. I don't think I'd pay $13 million for him, personally, because his numbers look good. I think he had a goal every 79 minutes. But he was largely reduced to cup competitions, which, again, can pad the stats out if you're playing against lesser teams. They've been quite cautious in the market so far. Mikel Moreno joined from Dortmund for about €10 million, I think, if they sign him permanently altogether. That's not a bad bit of business, but I think they do need one or two just to push the levels up a bit. And Perez, I'll give him credit, he would certainly do that.
I was kind of wondering, also, I think Klopp had an interesting statement in, although everyone was sort of given, there was a bit of a circle jerk at the Audi Cup in Germany, where they were talking about the possibility of someone signing Renato Sanchez because he's not going to get the numbers that or the minutes that he wants at Bayern. And I thought it was quite interesting. Klopp said, yeah, why would I want to improve him to then just give him back to Bayern? And I sort of wonder how many people are sort of considering that, like, you know, Renato Sanchez obviously wants minutes elsewhere. Really, there's only a certain set of clubs that would be able to give that. And one of those is AC Milan, which would probably make AC Milan summer one of the most successful and massively improved, or at least closing a gap summers, in recent history.
Hard to disagree, I'd say, considering the business.
Incredible. I mean, you know, getting Renato Sanchez, even on loan, is a great deal for them.
Pretty tasty. Would be pretty tasty indeed. Right, that's it for all the transfer news, transfer banter, some exciting rumours there. I'm sure you'll all agree. Let us know what you think on Twitter at The Front Three. Is Neymar going to PSG? Could Coutinho go to Barcelona? Is the domino effect going to happen? We'd love to hear from you. Right now, let's move on to some...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Other news. Other news this week, guys. Some very exciting happenings in the world of football. Ronaldo's in court, Lawrence. The main man himself.
Finally, we got him.
Can't handle the truth. He says he's never hidden anything in light of charges of a £14.7 million tax fraud accusations that are flying around. He was in court today. He's saying he told his advisors that he always told them to make sure they always paid what he owed correctly and in time. He released a statement saying that, you know, none of this is true. Are we looking at another suspended sentence for Spanish tax fraud, Lawrence?
This could be, yeah. Yeah, really, there's nothing else to it. That's it.
End of story. I mean, it seems like a big deal, Chris. 14.7 million. You're thinking, hang on, you know, they can't be getting away with this. This is the latest in a long line of Spanish football. There's obviously something going on here, but is it going to be a slap on the wrist and we'll see you later?
I'd be surprised if it was more than that. I was speaking to someone actually who is a little bit more well-versed in this kind of stuff, and it would seem like a lot of these players use the same person for their image rights in Spain, and it would seem that it is that person that has made the error rather than the players themselves.
Yes, it is alleged that Ronaldo concealed income from the sale of image rights for a financial structure that diverted the money via Ireland to a tax haven in the British Virgin Islands. So, as Ronaldo says, paid everything they needed to and on time, apparently. Elsewhere,
into my fraudulent account.
Just via Ireland, via those, you know, those other islands. It's all good, lads. It's all good. Dave, other news today. Phil Jones has been banned for two European matches. What's going on? What's he done?
So apparently he had a go at the officer who was taking his samples. Obviously, it's drug doping. You get the random samples, obviously, Europa League final. Was a time when Phil Jones got pulled up. Apparently, he kicked off with the officer. To be fair, it was completely right from Phil Jones, because it was when they were taking the picture. If you've seen the picture after the Europa League, Manchester City United, hashtag pray for Manchester after obviously those terrible events in Manchester. And if you go back and look at the picture, Phil Jones isn't there, and that's because he's giving his samples, his blood and urine. So that's why he kicked off. He's been fined £5,000 or £10,000 and be banned for two games, and United are very, very unhappy with that. So it's just a bit of a situation where you've got to do your job. Yes, you're an officer. Yeah, you've got to do these, you know, the doping, and you might get told off or you might get disciplined by, you know, the body. But, you know, sometimes things are a little bit more important than that. Things are a bit more important than doping, and showing that Manchester is a City United, as the banner did say, was probably a little bit more important than Phil Jones pissing into a pot. But yeah, obviously, you know, UEFA have taken it, and they want Real Madrid to win the Super Cup, obviously.
There you go. A foul-mouthed tirade from Phil Jones followed. Another foul-mouthed news, Chris. Sunderland are fucking shit, according to Darren Gibson. At least in the Mirror, they're reporting that Sunderland have announced they are taking disciplinary action against Gibson following his pub rant at the weekend. We're fucking shit, he said, before being asked whether that bothered him. Of course I'm bothered. I don't want to be shit. There are too many people at the club who don't give a fuck. After it was put to Gibson that drinking after a heavy defeat did not necessarily present the most committed picture, this being after they were beaten 5-0 by Celtic, he said, right, I might be off my face here, but I still want to play for Sunderland. The rest of them fucking don't, though. The rest of them don't. Choice words from Darren Gibson. Chris, perhaps not the most professional example to be setting, though. Do you think these disciplinary actions that are being taken against him are fair? Was he just speaking the truth, speaking truth to power, etc.?
No, I mean, was he speak? I mean, yes, he was correct. They're not a very good football team as it stands right now. I don't think it's acceptable for him to be in that state. I had heard that he has issues with alcohol personally. That aside, he should not be in that state. He wasn't in a pub either. I don't think he was in a place called Ramside Hall, which I believe I don't think he gay crashed a wedding, but essentially there was a wedding being held there, and he was in the bar next to it.
That was such a funny image. Hi, yeah, fuck it, we're fucking shit. They're so shit. Do you take this woman? You're just shit.
With all that said, I think you look at the statement they released and the fact that they spelled his name wrong.
Burn, you're fucking shit.
to me, that is a microcosm for the issue that is Sunderland Football Club.
That's so bad, by the way.
In so much as it's just a mess. It's, I mean, look, you shouldn't throw your teammates under the bus like that. I also don't think fans learning that Kone, Kasri and Lenz don't want to play for the club was groundbreaking information. I think they knew that long before the game.
Water is wet, etc.
Yeah, it's exactly. Water is wet. I think at the minute you could say they need a total clean slate. They need to burn the whole thing down. But you know what I mean, kind of start afresh. I just think it's a mess at the minute, and I think Simon Grayson's probably learning that. And they've got Derby on Friday, and if the Celtic game's anything to go by, I can see them getting beaten quite heavily in that game because they were torn apart, albeit by a very good Celtic side, but they did not look like a team against Celtic from what I saw.
Do you know what's even more perfect about the misspelling of Darren Gibson's name was that once they rushed out an amended version, the fans were quick to point out that they actually got the club's name wrong. And they put Sunderland Football Club. They put Sunderland Football Club instead of Sunderland AFC. You know, so misspelling the club's name. So it's
not only do people not want to play for the club, they also don't want to do correct PR.
Sunderland Association Football Club. Even the club couldn't get that right. Unbelievable stuff.
To be fair, who the hell puts association?
Come on, it's SAFC. Come on, it's an official club statement. You got to get it right.
Darren Gibbons would have.
Let's talk about safe standing, because there was some news today that could potentially usher in safe standing. Well, we'll see. The Guardian are reporting earlier today that Liverpool fans have voted in favour of safe standing. 88% in favour, I should say, giving further impetus to the campaign for safe standing in English football. Overwhelming majority. Over 18,000 supporters took part in the week-long poll conducted by the Spirit of Shankly Supporters Union, which has held discussions with the Hillsborough families and survivors over the past 9 months about what will always be a sensitive subject at Anfield. But of those people who voted, an emphatic 88.21%, 15,000 people were in favour of rail seating being introduced in football stadiums. Now, this is something that a lot of fans and a lot of fan groups have been campaigning for a number of years now, in terms of bringing back atmosphere, etc., to football games in England. Is this something you're on board with, Lawrence? I think, is this something now that we could start to see happen in terms of fans, not just Liverpool fans voting for it, but other fan groups and other fans getting behind this movement?
Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of fans are for it because of what it means. Like you say, the phrase is safe standing, not just standing. There's obviously something very symbolic because of what happened at Hillsborough with Liverpool, and you know, the turning point that I think that was in English football politically and probably, like I say, symbolically as well. And so I would also say we need to be careful to separate the two as subjects, because, you know, Liverpool fans, whilst this is a really symbolic thing to happen, can't hold the key to it. And I think it's obviously great news. It doesn't probably have a huge bearing on the end result. I think we're always moving in this direction, but I think it's a nice way of moving forward in football and introducing something like safe standing, and to be respectful to those families is probably the right way. It's not really, something to do with bureaucracy or anything like that. It's really much more to do with the fact that Liverpool is a club that has suffered at the hands of unsafe standing. And I think a lot of people now realise why it wasn't just because fans were standing there. That was part of the problem. There were a lot of other issues in stadiums at that time, and a lot of those have been solved. So really, it's conflating two issues. But at the same time, it's nice that people can have a say on something which directly affected their lives. So contrasted views, but all the same, I think it's good that 88% of Liverpool fans went down that route. And I'd be interested to know what the argument against is from the 12%, because obviously there's some feeling there. But I haven't read the report, so I don't know.
Shall we finish with a mention for England's women's team?
They're doing bloody well.
They're doing bloody well.
They could win it.
They could win it. They're through to the semi-finals now after a 1-0 win over France last night. Mark Sampson, now the first England manager since Alf Ramsey to reach two consecutive semi-finals at major tournaments. England facing the Holland now on Thursday in that semi-final, looking to progress to the final, ultimately win their first major tournament. Has anyone actually been watching the England women's, anyone been keeping up with this?
Highlights. But I think they went to the tournament confident that they were what they said they wanted to go to the tournament to win it. Mm. And Mark Sampson has done exactly what he said he'd deliver on. He got them to the major part of the tournament. I think now he's got to deliver on the second part of actually winning it. And he said, you know, we're going there to win it. We think we will win it. And there's something really refreshing about that. It's the women leading the football in England in terms of approach as well.
The quarterfinal last night was the biggest ever TV audience for women's football as well in the UK. So it's all coming up Millhouse for women's football, you might say.
It's all coming up Womanhouse.
Exactly. Guys,
Femhouse.
We may well have the English champions on. I think the final's on Sunday. So, like I say, first they have to beat Holland on Thursday, but we could be looking at finally some English champions in a major senior international tournament. By the time we do the next podcast, which will be in a week's time, because now that's the end of the podcast, guys. That is the end of this week's Front Three. It's been a pleasure to have you. Hope you enjoyed listening. Before we go, where can people find you, Chris, before next week?
At the Front Three.
Oh, very selfless, very selfless. Dave O'Brien?
Maybe on a podcast this week, another podcast that isn't the Front Three.
Yeah, go on. Intriguing.
Maybe.
Tempting.
Maybe.
What are we talking about? What are we saying?
Maybe there's a return of something that was previously there and was lost forever.
Okay, interesting.
The Jurassic Park.
A potential daily sort of podcast thing.
Yeah, that type of pod. Okay. But I don't think it'll be daily yet.
Okay. Very intriguing little tease there. Okay, Lawrence McKenna, where can we find you?
At Adam Boltwood.
Very selfless, very selfless. You can find me if you go on the channel Full Time Devils. You'll see some highlights from something called the Fan League Cup, a recent game against Creators FC. You'll see me in defence. Check it out. See what you think. I posted up a little clip on Twitter earlier this week of, I don't want to say it was a game-saving sliding tackle, but it was a decisive piece of defending from myself. You know, that's what it was. You can't really beat around the bush here.
Oh, Bob, I wish we could talk about the other thing you did when playing football.
We can't talk about that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that soon
enough.
Oh,
my God.
The next level football league, guys.
What did you do?
Oh, the next level football league. There's exciting stuff coming. Let's just say that. Ooh. Our team, London City FC, if you're watching it right now, you know, we're getting better as the weeks progress. Just wait until you see what's coming up, guys. Just wait.
Wait till you see the fucking look on their faces when we lose 9-0.
Yeah, just wait, guys. Those days are long gone. The days are getting hammered in the double digits are long gone. Before we go...
Just 5 pints gets us hammered now.
Oh. We should also give a mention, a fond mention and a plug to the Dirty Tackle podcast, Chris. Should we not... with none other than friend of the show, Ryan Bailey.
Yeah, it's a really good show. Ryan is a good friend of mine who does stuff with Kick and a lot of different football stuff in the US. And I don't have many football podcasts on my iPhone at the minute, I must admit, but that is definitely one that I've added, and it's a welcome addition.
Lovely stuff. It is a very good podcast with
big shifts coming in the new season. You need a new podcast to step up.
There's all sorts of waves, isn't there, in this football podcast pool? Is that to extend the metaphor?
Correct. Yeah.
If you listen to other football podcasts, guys, you'll know. Well, you might not know. So sorry to break the tragic news, but James Richardson from the Guardian Football, he's leaving Football Weekly. Of course, I think it's safe to say the most popular football podcast in the UK.
It's most listened to in the UK. Yeah,
Football Ramble. Not far behind, it's fair to say. But this is seismic movements, Lawrence. I mean, does that mean there's a hosting opportunity open at The Guardian, maybe for one of us to, you know, transfer?
Are you on the move? On the move,
Would £195 million or £1.95 not tempt you potentially to accept a transfer deal of some sort?
Not me, but maybe you. I know you're open to massive amounts of money.
You know, the club as a whole. You know, what if Football Weekly came in and said, listen, we'll give you £195 for... Chris Henich, would we say, okay, let's talk.
More money than sense, pal.
More money than sense. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Please do leave a review by clicking the link in the description of this very podcast. rate and review the front three. It helps other people find the podcast, which is very much appreciated. And our favourite review every week, as you already know, will be the whole of the week and get themselves some Ferrero Rocher. Celtic fans 6788, do DM us for your chockies. Until next Monday, enjoy your week. Adios. Bonsoir.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bonsoir.
Konnichiwa. That works as goodbye as well, I think.